It's now 12 minutes before 6 o'clock. Well, it was a close encounter for Brian Keating while out on a hike in southern Alberta last week. Brian, of course, is our naturalist here on the homestretch, and he joins me now with more. Hello there.
Hi, Jim.
So this is what happens. All the time you spend hiking out in the mountains, you've stumbled across a female grizzly and her two cubs.
Yes. And Jim, I have to say the entire experience was very positive, and I think it'll remain as for my wife and I, one of our most memorable grizzly bear encounters, at least on foot. You know, we've had the privilege over years, many years, to go looking for grizzly bears, taking trips out to the West Coast and so on, where we've been in situations where we were very safe and where we had little impact or no impact on the bears we were watching. But it's something very different, Jim, when you're on foot.
Sure.
And you encounter a bear. We were in the Newcastle Provincial Wildland Recreation area on Friday morning. We were about 10 kilometers in. We had hiked a trail just west and south of the Castle ski area down there, and we had ascended about 700 meters to a pass called Middle Kootenay Pass. I've never done any hiking down in that neck of the woods before, so it was very exciting to be down there. And the forest was alive with bird calls. It actually sounded a bit like a pet store with budgies calling. The wonderful, complicated trills and warble songs of the white-winged crossbills were everywhere, and so obviously it's a good cone year because they feed on the seeds. And we also recognized that there was lots of bear food around, Jim. There were some very plump and ripe buffalo berries and some huckleberries that became thicker as we got higher up towards the pass. And so we were certainly bear aware. And when we hiked through the thicker parts of the bush, we occasionally made our presence known, as a hiker should. Mm-hmm. And about 3 hours into the hike, just at the pass, which is an interesting undulating subalpine area, about 2,000 meters above sea level, with lots of open views, we approached the pass, and a family of bears arrived from the other side at pretty well the same time. And I first spotted one of the cubs right beside the trail signpost that indicates that you're about to walk into British Columbia. I squatted down and quietly told my wife, "Bear," and we immediately moved back and started to ascend the open slope to the right of the pass. And I readied my camera. My wife unholstered her pepper spray. The adult bear immediately noticed our movements. There was a slight morning breeze coming from the west, so she definitely had no olfactory indication that we were there. She saw our movement of retreat, and, you know, we were sort of skulking away with our tail between our legs, and she stood up to get a better view of who we were and to try to figure out if we were a threat. And then she made a decision, and she took her cubs up the opposite slope, which is what we hoped she would do, into some subalpine mixed kind of a heath and shrub and forest open woodland area. And when we realized she was moving quickly away, we sat and we pulled out our binoculars. I took some photographs. We watched them quickly settle down, and then they started to feed on the huckleberries that were in that semi-open area. And, you know, Jim, the cool thing I thought was that she didn't run away in extreme panic. I suspect this bear has encountered people before, but she stayed with her objective to come over that pass to go and get the berries that she obviously knew would be there. And, you know, I have to say, the whole event couldn't have played out better. We felt extremely privileged. You know, people have said that we were lucky, but I think in a very true sense, remember, most encounters happen this way. They're relatively uneventful. I called Dr. Stephen Herrero, you know, Alberta's own bear expert, last night just to tell him about this encounter and just to get some of his thoughts on it. And he said to me that, you know, remember, bears don't like to be surprised, Brian. And fortunately, we were in the right situation, in the right place, and I think we handled it with humility. And I got to say, Jim, it's left my wife and I with an intensely profound feeling that we have seen such an amazing symbol of our Canadian wilderness out there trying to make a living.
Mm. And you took some lovely shots. We've tweeted a couple of them out, including, I imagine, the moment when the mother bear was standing up checking you out.
Yes, I couldn't believe it, Jim. Yeah, that was an amazing moment, you know, because she was obviously trying to figure out if we were, you know, to be worried about.
And now, did they look to be in good shape to you?
Well, you know, the female was certainly not plump. The photographs that I got of her side on, but you know, when you think about it, what lactating mother of two would be in good shape? You know, the cubs looked great. They were full of energy. One had a striking light-colored face, so it looked very different than the other one. But you have to realize that the largest nutritional cost comes when she first comes out of the den in the spring, and there's not a lot to eat. The cubs need to grow fast. Their metabolic rate is a lot higher now than it was when they were in den, now that they're out moving around. Remember, the cubs consume only about 10% of their yearly milk requirement after they're born and they're in the den. When they come out in the spring, Jim, their milk intake increases some fourfold, and their growth takes off like a rocket. And so mom is now having to produce several liters of milk a day, a minimum of a liter of milk per cub per day. And that's a difficult metabolic feat to sustain. Remember, she's a bear's milk is made up of something like 25% fat, and you compare that to human or cow milk, we have somewhere between 3 and 5%. So that's a lot of energy investment just to make that milk, and her entire life objective right now is to gather enough high-energy food to continue to produce that milk and to start putting on the necessary weight that she'll need for her eventual hibernation. And as the cubs grow during this first summer, their nutritional needs essentially outpace the mother's ability to produce milk, and so she has to start introducing other foods for them. And it's basically, I've been heard it called a nutritional ballet. And we did find some fresh poop on the other side of the pasture when we continued on our hike. It was purple because it was loaded with berry seeds. And we actually, I took some pictures as well, and I sent some to you.
Oh, yeah, I saw that one too, Brian.
Yeah, good poop shot, Jim. You always have to check all the angles out.
Now, after you and Dee encountered the bears, did you continue on your hike?
Yeah. The bear family continued eastward, and we watched them disappear into the forest. And so we knew that it was safe for us to continue our objective, which was to get up to some alpine lakes. And we knew we weren't going to be disturbing the birds, the bears. But hardly a half hour after we crossed the pass, and we were ascending up through mixed open and forested slopes towards those lakes, and there's lots of berries there. We came across bear tracks. Then all of a sudden, a black streak of fur crossed the trail in front of me. Jim, it was a black bear, and it disappeared into the thick bush very rapidly. We never got a good look at it at all, but it was obviously turning into a bear banner day.
So obviously the black bear was attracted to the same berry crop.
Absolutely, yeah. Black bears are efficient berry eaters. Apparently, they'll consume up to about 30,000 berries a day. They gather the berries quickly. They've got very sensitive mobile lips, and they swallow the berries whole, and the seeds pass through their digestive tract mostly unbroken, and that's why these bears, both black and grizzly, are important seed dispersers. They perform an important ecological task. And I was reading up last night on how many berries bears eat. The Bear Smart Society's website reported that the grizzly bears in Banff National Park that have been studied have been found to eat about or up to 200,000 buffalo berries in a single day.
Wow.
And, you know, Jim, take a close look at that picture of the poop that I sent you, and you'll see that there's the proof is in the poop.
Now, as the berries start to disappear and the summer continues, what will the bears do for food then?
Yeah, it's going to be tricky because this is such a dry year, Jim. But as fall approaches, the bears will enter a state of the need to feed. It's called hyperphagia. They've got this incredible sensation of hunger. They'll eat as much as they can to put on the fat, as much fat as possible to get through the long winter sleep. They'll eat a lot of bulbs of plants like heady serum. They'll dig up ground squirrels. We saw some spots where ground squirrels had been dug up, not recently, but in years past. They'll open up rotten logs to find ant and ant eggs. It's a real all-out effort to try to put on that weight. But, you know, I have to say, Jim, to come across a healthy family unit like that, to see that we didn't scare them too much. Remember, their energy budget is tricky at this time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
It was such an experience to see them in the wild.
Well, thanks a lot for telling us about it, Brian. It sounds like a memorable day.
It was a fantastic hiking day.
Brian Keating is our naturalist here on the homestretch. If you'd like to read more of his stories, you can check out his website, greatbignature.com, or his Facebook page of the same name.